Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. It's Jono here. As you can tell, I am not Doss as he is off doing his boyfriend duties. It's his girlfriend's birthday this weekend, so he's off on the show. And the Statesman, well, I think he's in the fetal position after I told him on Saturday that Tassie Pino sucks. So it is just myself, Cam, and we welcome back Stevie Fizz from his break. How you doing, pal?
Doing okay, Jono. Great to see you've cleaned up after coming through on the peanut butter challenge. What was that like?
It was quite good fun, actually. I definitely overestimated on how much peanut butter I actually needed, so it looks like I'll be making a crap load of Reese butter, peanut butter cups for the next 6 weeks.
Well, you're an absolute pig of the man. But I would just like to say thanks to the listeners for getting in touch and giving me the well wishes. Interesting couple of weeks. I've had to pull out of the marathon. My knee's jiggered at this point in time. And, things were bad for a little while, but we're on the upswing.
And we welcome to you, Cam. How are you?
Yeah, good. Glad that it's good to have you back as host, Jono, and good to see Doss off. We're going to have a show that is exclusively 22 or over, which is great. So let's get rolling.
Yeah, so we are talking all things good vibes, bad vibes. The off-season content is here, and it's also the trade seasons where everyone is worth six first-round draft picks according to their club. But we are going to talk those players who we think are going to be having a good 2020 or even a bad 2020. And to kick us off first is Steve. Who have you got, mate?
Yeah, so just on the good vibes, bad vibes, there's a bit of a gut feel to it, Jono. Bit of a gut feel to it. Not heavy stats, bit of gut feel. So I want to assuage concerns over Marcus Bontempelli. I know people are terrified of him. He goes forward, gets tagged and all this sort of thing. I've got good vibes about Bont going into next season. We know he had a banger of a year this year with great averages in both formats. And I don't see this forward thing happening anymore. I think Bevo's finally, the penny's dropped. He's got his best players in the midfield. I don't see if Libba plays, and I think Libba will play in the middle, that it's not just going to be Bont going forward, especially if they're bringing in Josh Bruce. We know they've got Aaron Norton down there. Baby Fizz is just going postal. She doesn't buy it. But I do. So Josh Shackey will be running out from the forward 50. I think Alex Keith, if he arrives at the Bulldogs, he can keep Norton in that forward line, and the Bulldogs will have some pretty tall timber to kick to. So I think there's really good signs for Bont, and we saw this year, he really was just in the midfield the bulk of the time, had some tags, dealt with them okay, I would say, across the board. So I feel pretty positive about him next year. And he's probably not going to be a round one pick. Probably he's obviously more valuable in Supercoach, but he'll probably be on that 1-2 border depending on the size of your league. And I think if you're getting Bont in the second round, you're probably feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, Bont's always been around that second, third round pick. You mean, what is he, 108 Supercoach, 102, 103 AFL Fantasy, so he's a safe pick. He doesn't miss. He's got a good ceiling. So, and if, like you said, Bevo's playing in pure mid, he's safe.
Yeah. And it's always really interesting missing the show and listening to you guys talk and you obviously talking about Dunkley being a regression candidate and all that sort of thing. And I just think it could just be, if Libba's playing, he takes maybe a little bit off each of these guys. Like, if you look at McRae's season as a whole, he really had a banger second half. Well, his first half kind of balanced that out. So, not everyone's red hot all the time across 22 weeks. It just doesn't happen that way, usually.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Cam, who have you got, mate?
Yeah, so the candidate that I thought was going to have a cracking year this year and did, Brad Crouch. I think he's going to be pretty ordinary next year. So the main thing that I'm worried about is this trade talk with him going to the Gold Coast. If that eventuates, if it doesn't eventuate, he's probably still going to score quite well. But if it does eventuate, you know, Adelaide, even though they were putrid this year, still managed to put up pretty fantasy-friendly numbers for the year. The Crows were second only to the Pies for the highest fantasy numbers, with the Gold Coast Suns sitting dead last for the same stat. A deeper look into that shows that the Crows were simply winning more uncontested possessions, kick mark style gameplay, than most of the competition, ranking third overall for uncontested possessions. And this is consistent with the makeup of Brad Crouch's possessions for the year, gaining the majority of his possessions from uncontested ball. The Suns, again, ranked last in that stat. Of course, this could be why they're wanting someone like Brad to come in, but when you look at the disposal efficiency of the Suns, 68% for the year, and then you look at the disposal efficiency of Brad Crouch, 68% for the year, he might be a player in the cog, but he's certainly not the one that's enabling that possession gameplay. He gets it, and then he butchers it, with an average of 5.8 turnovers a game. I just genuinely think that the Suns are a low fantasy scoring team. They won't improve that next year, and Brad Crouch will probably fall down to their standards rather than him bring them up.
Yeah. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I think if Brad Crouch does go to the Suns, they're going to be playing him as that pure inside mid, so disposal efficiency's not going to matter too much for him. I mean, who's their big body midfielder there? They've got, yeah, Swallow, injury prone. They've got Brody and Bowes still developing. So I think he's going to be playing as that prime bull. But again, he's going to rack him up and he'll have big games. But again, if they do improve, I can see a little bit of improvement. Like they were all right last year. And obviously another preseason will help. But yeah, I think the only thing would be a tag. But I don't think they're going to worry about tagging Brad Crouch anytime soon.
I think the thing, your point, misses is I was Brad Crouch owner this year, traded him out around, around 8 or 9 or something like that, because he was just playing off the wing. But then as soon as I traded him, for some reason, went straight inside. You know, just a great trade by me there. So that could explain why his numbers were so high in the uncontested. But I mean, you're going to average over 100, you're going to have a lot of uncontested ball. Like that's, you can't build a score without that.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that it would be a higher split or a more even split between them when I was looking at the stats, and it just wasn't, like, uncontested.
No, it shouldn't be. Yeah. And to be honest, like, I've got no beef where he plays. Like, the only difference is this year is you're going to be paying the premium for Brad Crouch, and that's probably going to be true for a lot of these players we talk about over the preseason. You got them last year, they're a bargain. This year, you're going to be paying a premium for him. If he goes to Gold Coast Suns, I love it because he's not going to be trying to win the clearance with the likes of Rory Sloane and that around him. Mm. It's Anthony Miles.
But do you think so that
and consider this, you'll have Jared Witts, the best, he just set the record for taps in a season.
Yeah, I mean, look, totally hear that. But is he that much of a degree better than the existing Suns mid? I think he is. But is he going to average more clearances than the existing team? It would be pretty marginal, I'd suggest.
The problem with it is I couldn't feel great about him, about drafting him in what, round 3?
Mm.
2?
It'll be 2, you'd think. I think it's really interesting. Like, again, the gut feel, I think, is my gut feel about this is that, given that Gold Coast Suns historically, over the last couple of years, have been a low fantasy output team. I just think that will continue with Brad Crouch.
Well, he has to go for that as well.
Mm.
You know what I mean? This is Sunday. So this is coming out on Wednesday. We don't know any of the trades
yet.
Yeah,
correct.
No, we don't.
Again, if he's at Adelaide, he's probably still going to be great. But
all right. My first guy I'm going to talk about, I've got good vibes about for 2020, is Timmy English. This guy, he's improved all his fantasy stats the last 3 years that he's been in the comp, going to his fourth year. We saw in the 2019 preseason, he put on 10 kilo muscle. He'll be looking to add onto that again in the preseason. And I was sort of comparing his stats to that of Brody Grundy, and he's been trajecting in a similar pattern to what Brody Grundy's done in the same pathway of his career. So averaging similar hit outs, about 20 a game and 13 possessions. And so I'm looking for that next year for Timmy English, especially if they do get the Alex Keith and the Josh Bruce. It means he's going to be spending more time on the park, attending center bounces and hit outs around the ground. So five more a game there is quite possible, as well as a few more possessions that we see Brody Grundy getting as they use him as that extra midfielder. So I can see him bumping up his average, which was 82 Supercoach and 77 to AFL Fantasy. I'm looking at it more of your Supercoach perspective here, where I can see him going up to the early 90s to mid-90s next year. And as we've always spoken about here on the Draft Doctors, is late round ruck pickups has always been a thing. Like, I picked up Jared Witts in our home league this year in round 15 or 16, bang down an average. So if you do miss out on some of those top end ruckmen, then there's no harm in getting Tim English this year.
Yeah, I love it. I'm all aboard it.
Yep.
All right, moving on now to our next players. And Steve, who have you got, mate?
Well, it's a good thing Doss isn't on this pod, because he might have a heart attack when I bring out the bad news for his boy, Braden Fiorini. That's right, the man with the 99.7 Dream Team average and, of course, 87 Supercoach average. And a lot of that is because when you're talking bad ball-using teams, you're talking the Gold Coast Suns, and when you're the second worst kick in that team, your name, Braden Fiorini, you are not getting it done from an efficiency standpoint. You are part of the problem, not the solution. So, and the other thing is, like, as the season went on, he was really pushed out of the center square onto a wing, which is where you want your good ball users, which is not, repeat, Braden Fiorini. And his average actually tanked when that happened, so it dipped down to an 87 Dream Team from the bye onwards. Not really what we're looking for from a midfielder. We consider that Gold Coast have landed Richmond wingman Brandon Ellis. So he's certainly been a 100 averaging wingman, which is pretty ridiculous when you think about it. He's coming in, possibly Hugh Greenwood, which might mean some more outside time for someone else. Bringing in probably the number one draft pick, Matt Rowell, however you pronounce it. We'll wait till someone butchers it worse than me. So there's just going to be more competition for ball. And realistically, if the Gold Coast are going to get better, a guy like Braden Fiorini probably shouldn't be in your first 16 pick players. He's a guy who probably shouldn't be getting a game some weeks. Now, I'm not saying that's next year, but I'm worried about the future, especially when you consider other things like, you know, Isaac Rankin. Well, he might be a forward, but they're probably going to get the number two pick as well. So there's a lot of things happening at the Gold Coast Suns.
And as a fan, you'd be pretty excited about that, wouldn't you, Steve?
Oh, it's great times. We're on the up and up.
Every draft.
Can't wait to see all the...
For the next 5 years,
Oh, mate, that package was just absolute ridiculous.
It certainly was. Yeah, the club signed off on it.
Well, the interesting part is the AFL, like, yeah, we can take this away any time we want. Like, yeah, you're not taking that away.
No.
To, like, the fourth premiership in a row.
All right, Cam, who's your second pick, mate?
Yeah, I've got for a good vibe, my first good vibe for the year, Dan Houston. And I think he has the potential to be an absolute jet next year. I was originally going to talk in this spot about Sam Paupepa and his potential move to the Dons and the opportunity that I think they'll give him as a body on the inside. But thinking more on it, and we always talk about opportunity, with SPP potentially moving, Rocky having his shoulder reco, Boak aging, Robbie Gray aging, it really solidifies the opportunity that I think they're going to give someone like Dan Houston in the midfield next year. He was very good when he played there, not from a fantasy perspective, well, both from a fantasy perspective and on the field. He definitely passed the eye test. He ended up averaging, when he was in the mid, 103.2 AFL Fantasy and 105.8 Supercoach across the last 5 weeks of the year. Even more so, he's going to be listed as a defender still next year. It might be a dual position, but he's still going to have that sweet, tasty defender status. If he does get the opportunity, and I genuinely think he will, I can see a world where he's in the top seven defenders for next year, and he'd need an average of about 94 in each format to do it.
Yeah, I like the pick, especially watching a lot of Port Adelaide last year when he was in the middle. They originally put him in as that tagging role, but found out that he actually can football and played him as that inside mid, and his scores went through the roof. And don't know, I'm 50-50 whether he does get retains that defensive status, but if he does, yeah, he's certainly top three, I reckon, in terms of defenders if he does retain next year.
What was his season averages there, Cam, if you have them?
Give me... I think it was...
Just to throw you
a bit lower. Yeah. Well, yeah, he averaged the 80 in AFL fantasy.
No, so he's kind of buried. So that's kind of...
Yeah, I really think that he could be a bit of a steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I do like Dan Houston for next year. Moving on to my one who I've got bad vibes about, and we sort of spoke about him a little bit last week, and that's Jack Redden. Now, we know that West Coast have definitely want to get their claws into Tim Kelly over there. And even this year, we saw Jack Redden was moved out of that midfield onto the wing. When you've got blokes like Shuey and Yo, and even Dom Sheed had more time this year in that midfield than on the wing than previously. So it really affected Jack Redden's scoring, where his possessions dropped about two or three a game, but he was relying on his tackles. And that's one thing that, yeah, it's great, but you can't rely on getting 12, 13 tackles a game, especially when you've got blokes like Yo and Shuey there. He's going to be playing on a wing next year, especially with Tim Kelly. We've seen what he can do when he does get into the team. He was playing inside mid, clearance beast. So there's going to be a lot of competition. And Jack Redden, he's an aging player. It was his first two years in a row that he's played full season. So I'm not sure where they're going to play him, but I think wing for Jack Redden. I'm not really keen on it, especially if he dropped 6 Supercoach points and 5 AFL fantasy for the year, just to drop down to 90 and 91 for the year. So as a midfielder only, yeah, it's okay, but not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I've got a completely different take on this, and that's, you know, that's fine. These are our gut feels. But I think the guys who are going to get booted out are Sheed and Gaff. Quite frankly, we saw West Coast like charting the CBAs. They ran with a really reliable group in the midfield. So Yo was the highest in there, and then Shuey. Then Redden took half the centre bounces,
okay,
pretty reliably. And this was really consistent week to week, one of the few teams that were. And then it was sort of Sheed just after that, and then Gaff. I have a really, like, we know Gaff, how damaging he is on the outside. We've seen Sheed be a better forward before. I have a really hard time seeing Redden be as effective as those guys in other roles, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd see Gaff more effective as a wingman than Redden, that sort of way.
Yeah, and Sheed as well, to be honest. Like, that's Sheed's game. Sheed racks up his score from marks and possessions, not tackles and possessions. And Sheed actually averaged more than Redden this year.
Yeah. But with the introduction of Tim Kelly as well, like, I think those minutes get sliced even more, especially for Jack Redden. Sheed, maybe not so much, but I think Kelly will take Redden's minutes there.
I find it really hard to...
Where would you see Tim Kelly playing in that West Coast team if he does get there?
Yeah, in the midfield, yeah. Like in the centre square. Like I'd suggest the main three would be Shuey, Yo, and Kelly.
Yeah.
But then I think it'd be Redden straight after that.
I don't know.
And really, Redden and Sheed were really tight in the numbers, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just not just like, hey, it's a bad vibes, good vibes show, and I've just got really bad vibes about Jack Redden. And I've been an owner of him in the past, and yeah, I'm just disappointing, especially when he scored no tons in the finals this year. That was a disappointing thing.
I just don't think you can't really have good vibes about him because he's really got no upside.
No, there isn't. 29, almost 30.
Yeah.
Not good. But look. We saw on the weekend, we had the 230 ratings. I did put my face into a pile of peanut butter. We are now tracking for 250 reviews, iTunes ratings and reviews, so we can get the Statesman to do something completely nasty with some cheap wine and maybe something else. If you've got any ideas, hit us up on the social media, let us know what you can do. But we do have a review this week from White Fright Might. He says he's been listening to these fellas since the start of the fantasy season and have enjoyed the different views the boys have. The doctors all sound like good blokes, even though the Statesman can get ahead of himself and seems to have lost touch with the common man. Keep up the good work, fellas. Well, we do know that the Statesman is above the common man, and it's his servants that feed him the info to keep in touch with that, so maybe they are feeding him the incorrect information. Who knows?
You know what I'd like to see is Stato get a skateboard and try to do a kickflip. Like, just spend an hour trying to do a kickflip.
And just a mega cut of those attempts. Oh, man, I'm in.
To Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Yep. Yeah. Goldfinger, Superman, get in there.
Love it. Love it. So please do help us get us to 250. And, yeah, Stato drinking cheap wine while trying to do a kickflip. That'd be great. Moving on now to our last lot of players that we have good vibes and bad vibes. Steve, fire away.
More bad vibes, boys. More bad
classic
vibes.
Classic Steve.
And this one's... Hey?
Classic Steve. Lots of bad vibes.
Throwing the shade. Yeah, and this one's more for the super coaches out there, but I've got bad vibes about Rory Lobb from the Fremantle Dockers. So he averaged the 79 Dream Team and 87 super coach, which actually makes him an F2. And... depending on who we lose and gain, could be fringy top 10, believe it or not, for forwards. So just keep that in mind as we're saying this. If he retains the forward status, that is. But he should be a ruck forward, I would imagine. So, look, he got a lot of games last year as the sole ruck for Frio as Darcy battled some injuries. Sandy was in and out. So that was pretty helpful for his scoring. We know he's not a super tap ruckman, but he can be effective in that, and he gets around the ground and racks up the score that way, much like when you stream a Geelong player. But it's really hard for me to envision him being the prime ruck next year, given Sean Darcy's got another year under his belt removed from that knee injury. So I feel a bit better about Sean Darcy going into next year. I know there was a lot of... like the three-headed monster at some points with Lobb, Darcy, and Sandy this year. So I really find it hard to see that he's going to be fantasy relevant this year if he's playing that ruck forward role. We know that's a really hard role to be super fantasy relevant in, especially when he's going to need to be effective as a forward. Now, this is where I have a real big problem, because we should expect Matty Tabiner to be back, who is... going along pretty well at the start of last year. We should expect Jesse Hogan to be back, whatever role he's in remains to be seen. He could be a bit more up the ground. But the real worry for me is their midfield has just been shredded with the loss of Brad Hill, who's really a classy ball user. Ed Langdon, we know he gets a lot of the ball. Maybe he isn't the greatest kick in the world, but he still gets a lot of it. So I'm really having a hard time seeing how he's going to be effective as a forward with all that competition, potentially a lack of supply, and even more a lack of quality supply. So at this stage, I'm really cagey about Rory Lobb. Now, we do know that Fremantle have got a new coach in, and we don't know what his philosophy will be. Maybe he likes Rory Lobb in the team as a more athletic ruck. Maybe he doesn't like slow Sean Darcy, That could happen, and maybe Lobb's a great pick in the end. But personally, at this stage, before any preseason matches, I'm a bit cagey about it all.
Would you throw a blanket over the entire Fremantle forward line for the same reason? Just a little bit of hesitation until we see some preseason matches?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm probably really happy having a dart throw at Jesse Hogan, and I can see a world where he's getting just let loose if he's fit.
Yep.
And moving on to your last one there, Cam.
Yeah, more good vibes and another ruck. Lots of rucks. But I kind of never thought that I'd mention two Port players in the one pod. And I generally don't feel too good about it, but here we are, I guess. Scott Lysette. I think that he's going to be pretty good next year, with Ryder likely to go to St Kilda over the trade period. Remember that sweet stretch of games this year when Lysette was the solo ruck, and he managed 105 AFL fantasy average and a massive 125 super coach. Sure, he ended up getting dropped after that. and the person who replaced him was his only competitor next year, Peter Ladhams. But the good news, and he's massively rated by the club, by the way. They think Ladhams is the next Grundy. So the good news, though, is that when he did come in to replace Lysette, he wasn't really competitive at all. So he still needs a bit of development. And, you know, as Stato said multiple times, ruckmen generally take a longer time to build their frame and learn the craft. It's a much more complex position than the rest of the ground, and you can't really get away with just being quick and a good ball user. So I think next year there's going to be times where Port choose to play them both in the same team, but Lysette could. I don't see him going as a top five ruck. And if you pick him from 5 to 10, then he could be anything. Like, he dropped 140s in that period. Could be very good. I think he dropped a 180 in Supercoach.
Certainly did.
So what you're saying is Ladham's season.
Ladham's season 21, not 20.
That was bizarre, because he was like, because I remember Jono had a Lysette in our home league, and he was just tearing ass. And then he just forward. Jono was like, "It's all happening for me going into the finals." Then just randomly dropped, and you're like, "Oh, my team shit."
Absolutely bizarre. Twitter went nuts too. Like, everyone on Twitter, and I guess mainly the fantasy community, right, were up in arms, because the comment from Hinckley was actually that he wasn't doing enough.
Ken Hinckley just didn't have him in his fantasy team. That was the only reason.
Yeah, I think so.
He's getting smashed on a weekly basis. That's all it was. My last good vibe is the human meatball himself. It is Mr. Dion Prestia. We know since he's come from the Suns, he's always had a few injuries, never played a full season, and he's never actually done a preseason with the Tigers up until this year. And what happened? He had his best year stats-wise. Not so much fantasy, but in terms of stats, they were all up, averaging 27 possessions, 5 tackles, and 3.5 marks a game. So pretty good from where he's come from and to where he is now. So, and the thing with Dion is, he's got no real competition other than Dusty in that midfield. Like, Cochin's aging, and they've got a few developing guys there. Like, he was the guy in that midfield. So when Dusty does move forward, it is Dion times, and he's the one getting all the ball. And the Tigers also found a pretty good niche with Soldo and Nang Curvis. Like, we know Nang's a bit in terms of hitouts, but when Soldo's there, he's just palming the ball straight down to the likes of Prestia, and they're getting first use. So the possessions are there. He may not be your ultra-elite scorer, your 120, like your Dangerfields, but look, his best season's been 106 in both formats. I can't see why he can't go ahead and do that again in 2020 and maybe push it a little bit higher as well if you can get around that 30 possessions a game. Tackles are fine and marks are fine, and maybe kick a goal or two more, then, yeah, I can't see why you can't get to 110+.
110+?
110. We'll cap it at 110.
Whew. Fire takes from China. Yeah, he was good this year. I was lucky. I was on him this year and had a few shares. I just wonder how you feel. And this is another one of those ones like we were talking about where the great season happened, so now you're paying for it. Probably next year. How are you going to feel having to draft him in, say, round 6?
I'd be comfortable with that. Like, I think he seems to be over these issues with his body. Like, he's had knees and hips and what sort of things. But like I said, he's had a first full preseason. He's going to have another one coming into 2020. So I'm all about the human meatball.
Cool.
Any thoughts, Cam?
Oh, I'm on board. Like, I really like the lack of competition in that midfield for Prestia. Like, I just think the numbers all line up, and they're super happy having, you know, two or three or four people run off him. Like, he generally gets the ball and palms it to, you know, your Shane Edwards or you know, some of the smooth movers to get it and launch it inside 50. If that's the plan, like, geez, that's good. That's Tom Mitchell in his best year. That was exactly what he was doing.
Not that he's going to go Tom Mitchell
himself was a launcher inside 50 himself. So
yeah,
you know, if Deion can add that to his game as well, then yeah, huge.
Yeah. What do you think? Hey, just off topic, Soldo, he was actually pretty good this year and could be fantasy relevant next year. He could take the number one mantle at Richmond.
Yeah, I can see that. I think they'll still run with Nank. I think Nank still might have been recovering a bit from injuries going into that final series. So they'll give Nank first crack, I think. But I can see times where Soldo does come in to help him out.
I'd say the problem you got is that they seemed really comfortable running the two rucks who played quite low TOG. Mm. Like, they were pretty happy rolling Chole by the looks of it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. Oh man, the Chole. I forgot the Chole.
Avoid Richmond rucks next year. Just to let you guys know that we do roll all year round. We do drop on the show on a Wednesday in the off season, and the website, we've still got stuff going on there as well. If you missed it, check out the 22 under 22. You got a Statesman's full list there of all the players that he spoke about, and we've also got the You Suck show coming up. It's a good show. It's a lot of content to go through. We're going to go back through the archives and find out all the crap that we've said, and some good and most of it not so good. So we're compiling that. That will be coming up very shortly. But moving on to the social media questions now. We just got the one from Tom26 on the Twitter. He says, hot take, I'm sketchy on the Bont. He thinks he'll be pushed forward in 2020 rather than Dunkley. My thoughts, he asked, thoughts, Jono, but we sort of touched on this today and the last show, where Steve seems to think that the Bont's going to be playing predominantly midfield, especially if the Dogs do get Josh Bruce into that team and they keep Norton and Shaki in there together. So Bont being the 195-centimetre midfielder, whereas Dunkley is more a mid-type at 185-190 centimetres. I still think Dunkley's going to be the one missing out on that midfield time, especially with Libba coming back into that team. And Steve actually mentioned it, that when the Bont got the tag, it was Libba who actually ran interference on the tagger of the opposition just so the Bont can get free off the ball. So they were doing that quite regularly when Libba was fit, so it's something that they could use going forward in 2020.
And I'm still on the team that I genuinely don't think Libba is going to slot in that midfield.
And you are wrong, that sir.
That is inarguably one of the worst takes I've ever had. What has daylight savings done to your body?
Too much sunshine in Brisbane, I think.
I just can't wait for him to not be. Because, like, you look at Dunkley, right? And you look at Bont, and you look at McRae, and you look at even McLean. You look at... go through the list. Lipinski. He's not better than any of them. He's not.
Well, your opinion doesn't matter, my friend.
Oh.
No, it's Bevo's opinion. Yeah, I know. And whilst he can clean up his act, he's still a crazy man.
Yeah, he is crazy.
Yeah. But it's just, they got to run a bigger midfield group than just three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, correct. But I think even those on the outside of that are better.
From Stephen Trelaw, actually, on the Facebook, he has a hectic vibe. Doherty is a trap. I've got just like a 10% feeling that the change of coach plus the introduction of Newman might mean that the days of 120s a few years back might not return. Is there too many variables between then and now? That being said, he'll still be a lock for 85 plus, he reckons. Thoughts on the Doc?
Yeah, I think he's 85 is probably a good take. I think, yeah, again, he's got a massive range of outcomes. There's a massive amount of competition for touches in that team, especially in the back line. We don't know, well, we can assume he's going to play defense, but we don't know how he's going to come back. You know, two knee recos, it's a different team. You know, there's always a possibility of niggles. But I think he's probably got one of the widest draft ranges in leagues. Like, some people might go, yeah, he's going to smash it back 100 plus, third round, fourth round. He might go in the 12th round in other leagues.
Mm.
14th round, I don't know. I think he could go anywhere, absolutely anywhere.
And just
there's a point you're not going to want to miss him, though.
Oh, definitely not. And just quickly, your thoughts on perhaps Whitfield getting forward status next year? I've seen a lot of articles and rumours that he can get forward status for 2020.
Yeah, I think Warney was tweeting about this last week, and you know, it makes a good case. I just don't see it really affecting where he goes in drafts greatly.
No.
Like, maybe it bumps in one or two spots. Maybe in Supercoach it's more relevant.
Quite possibly.
But in the Dream Team, I think he had a top five average in Dream Team, I think. Like, that's where he's going. Like,
yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, well, that will wrap up the show for this week. Don't forget to check us out on the social media. We are on Facebook, at The Draft Doctors, on Twitter and Instagram. We are dropping every Wednesday from now until the start of next year. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.